This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. Thankful you're with us today. I encourage you to tell some of your friends about this broadcast that might be interested in hearing messages from God's Word. We're currently in our series on the Gospel of John, such a marvelous portion of God's Word, exalting our Savior Jesus Christ. I pray the messages will be a blessing to you, and I encourage you to write and let us know that you have listened. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217.
Gentle Shepherd.
In our recent messages from the Gospel of John, we've been reviewing the words spoken by Jesus at the very end of his earthly ministry. He is keenly aware of the fear that has gripped the heart of his disciples. He is sympathetic with their distress. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." He has spoken several times about the gift of the Holy Spirit, that when he would go away, the Spirit would come. And today we come to chapter 16, looking at verses 12 to 15, where some additional information is given us, and it specifically confirms that Jesus will be glorified by the Spirit. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The first thing we would observe here in the 12th verse is that Jesus is a gentle teacher. He leads his little lambs in a way that is for their benefit. He's patient with their limitations. For he says, there are many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. They weren't ready to hear them. Their hearts were troubled. They had revealed their anxiety. They had demonstrated their immaturity, because even as Jesus came near the end of the way, they were discussing such issues as to who would have the greater place in his kingdom. They had not at this point been able to fully grasp what his kingdom was all about. They, like the rest of the Jews, were still hoping that he would set up an earthly kingdom in which they would play a prominent role. So there were things they were not prepared to hear. So there are other things that I could say, but you're not ready for them. And no doubt another factor is also involved. There were some things that could not be fully said, completely revealed, until after the crucifixion of Christ and after his resurrection and ultimately his ascension back to the Father. Those things would be more fully made known to them as the Spirit of God was given to them. Isn't it consoling to us to know that our Heavenly Father knows our frame? He remembers that we are but dust. Others may sometimes be impatient with us. Others may think we ought to be ahead of where we are, and we ought to be able to understand some things that they feel are very clear in their minds, and we don't quite see it as they do. But while friends and family members may sometimes be impatient, our Lord himself is patient with us. The Holy Spirit follows this same pattern, because he teaches us what we need to know, when we need it, when we're ready for it. Over long years of Christian experience, we hopefully are growing all along the way, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. You don't start out with complete understanding. You learn a little at a time. There may be certain periods where it seems the Lord just blesses you in your study and blesses you as you listen to preaching, and there is a period of rather rapid growth. And then there are other times when it kind of levels out. You say, Lord, I know there's a lot of things I need to know, but I don't seem to be growing at the pace I would like to grow. If we travel along in the service of God, We're going to go through some changes. Hopefully there's some fundamental doctrines in which we become established early on. But if anybody says, I've been following Christ and reading the Bible and serving Him for many years, and I've never changed, that's probably an indication that there hasn't been the level of growth and spiritual maturity that there ought to be. There always is a need of certain changes in our life. Need of coming to a deeper and better understanding, even of some of the fundamental doctrines that we already have embraced. But there's so much more to learn as we go along the way. The Apostle Paul himself followed this same pattern. He was gentle. Now, there are times for very bold and clear declarations to be made and for error to be refuted. But when Paul was laboring with God's people in the church, look at how he describes it in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 7, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. If the minister of the gospel is gentle with the Lord's people, he understands that they don't always grow at the same pace. All members of a congregation are not at the same level at any given time as far as the depth of their understanding or their growth. And so they must be dealt with gently. And he says further in the same passage, verse 8, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. He didn't consider these people, even if they didn't fully understand or didn't fully agree with him, to be his enemy. He loved them. They were dear to him. And for any man to shepherd a flock, he's got to love those who are under his care. And Paul obviously did that. Verse 11, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. And so we see that Jesus himself was a gentle teacher. The Holy Spirit followed the same pattern. And the apostle set an example for ministers of the gospel. So all of us need to be patient in dealing with others. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 in the 14th verse, suffer the little children to come unto me. Little children are not going to have the same comprehension and understanding that adults may have. We need to be patient and gentle with them, appreciating the stumbling testimony that they sometimes are able to give when they express a desire to follow Christ and to be baptized in His name. We need to be patient and gentle with those who may disagree with us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. That's not always easy to do. If somebody is harsh and critical in their approach to you and their conversation, it may not always be that easy. But here is the biblical pattern. Here's the command. There are those that are unruly. There are those who are weak and feeble. There are those who need special help, and in all cases we are to be patient toward all men. And that is applicable also when it comes to new converts. Understand that we want to be sure as much as is possible that those who are submitting to baptism, making a confession of faith in Christ, have had a genuine experience, a genuine conversion, that they understand what that means. They understand what baptism is about. They understand what's involved in church membership. But some, in attempting to correct the errors of the past, where little effort has been made to determine if there has been repentance and if there has been a display of true faith in Jesus Christ, then set up some very high standards, a lot of rules and procedures that one must follow, and want to be absolutely sure that a person is well indoctrinated and well founded in the faith at the time of their baptism. To me, that doesn't hold up from a biblical standpoint. We turn to the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. Here the Lord has blessed two individuals to get together. And there are many examples of this in the book of Acts, and I love them. When the Lord prepares one person to receive the message and another to deliver it, when they get together, it's a happy time. And so here in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know the story, that here Philip sees this man sitting in the chariot reading, and he goes up and asks, "Do you understand what you read?" He says, "How can I except some man guide me?" So he goes to the very passage of scripture for which the man read, opened it up. He was reading from the prophecy of Isaiah, and he begins to preach unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, he didn't say, "If you have read such and such a book on theology, if you have reached the point that you can quote large segments of the old articles of faith, if you can answer all the difficult questions that I'd like to pose, I may be ready to baptize you." He asks, "Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God?" And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. There obviously wasn't any sprinkling taking place here. They both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So you may sometimes hear a person come forward to confess their faith in Christ, and they don't use terminology with which you are 100% comfortable. That doesn't mean that there is something wrong with their experience. If that person is coming with understanding, "I don't know it all. I don't have all the answers. But I'm coming as a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to learn. I want to be taught." How thankful we are when we can see those evidences. And then verse 13 tells us that the Spirit is the faithful guide. He would guide into all truth. Now, we tend to dwell on certain truths that we rejoice in and are especially meaningful to us, and things that bring us comfort. But the Spirit was not going to endorse somebody riding a hobby and picking out a favorite doctrine and excluding all others. He was going to guide into all truth. We may love grace, but not care so much about the preaching of works. I've had people say to me, "Grace is my favorite theme. That's what I love to hear. In fact, I would just as soon hear that all the time." Well, hopefully we all love grace. If it were not for the grace of God, none of us would have salvation. None of us would have the hope of salvation. We thank God for it. But in Ephesians chapter 2, when he tells us that it is by grace that you're saved, he also tells us that this great work of salvation is that we might also perform good works. Good works, not the cause of the salvation, but the evidence of it. We ought to be very much interested in good works, works that are done to the glory of God and with the right motive. You may love calling, to hear about the effectual call of the Spirit, but not so much about repentance. Repentance can be a very convicting message. You hear the Bible doctrine of repentance, you hear a call to repent, and you may question, "Have I just gone through the motions, or have I truly repented of my sin?" So it can be a little disconcerting. It doesn't bring the same peace of mind and comfort as the message of grace. They like to hear about the drawing and effectual calling of the Holy Spirit, but not so much about repentance. Or it may be with some, I love to hear about faith. I love to hear somebody call on men to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But while I love that, I'm not so comfortable with this doctrine of election. That seems a little narrow to me. I can't sort that out. I can't explain that. And so people tend to pick and choose, have their favorite doctrines. And if the preacher doesn't preach an adequate amount of his time on that which suits their case, they become critical. Well, ministers of the gospel are called to preach the whole counsel of God. We need to preach grace. We need to preach works. We need to preach effectual calling. We need to preach repentance. We need to preach faith. We need to preach the sovereignty of God, the electing grace of God. All of it is to be preached. Of course, there are people who claim that they are being led by the Spirit. The Spirit is the faithful guide, but somebody will say, the Spirit of God is leading me to embrace this theory or this idea. And yet, when you examine it, it's clearly contradictory to what the Bible as a whole teaches. The one thing you can be sure of, when a person is going into error, they are not being led there by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a faithful guide. He's called the Spirit of Truth, and he leads to and in the truth. And so when it speaks about him being this one who will guide into all truth, no doubt there is reference, among other things, to the fact that the Holy Spirit is the one who inspires the Scripture. We turn to the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 and see that that is set forth very explicitly concerning the Old Testament Scriptures. Verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So as Moses and the prophets and others penned the word to the Old Testament, they were not just coming up with their thoughts and observations. God used the individual. God used the man. He used his personality. He used his experience. But they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And certainly when it comes to the New Testament Scriptures, they are also given us not just by man's speculation and the apostles doing the best they could to recall things that transpired while Jesus was here on earth. They were moved again by the Holy Spirit. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're reminded of the impossibility of man in his natural state being able to figure out the things of God. Verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit of God searches all that which is of God, has intimate knowledge of it, because we're talking about the triune Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So then, Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 in the 16th verse that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It didn't originate with man, not by man's effort, but because it's God's inspired word and we can have absolute confidence in it. It's given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. He has given us in his word everything that we need. Somebody will occasionally say, well, I wish there was a little more information on this subject, or I wish there was something else said. Everything we need is in this book, the 66 books of the Bible, given us of God by divine inspiration. It is the truth. We can have total confidence in it. It is our sole source of absolute authority.
I have sworn and will perform it. I will keep thy judgments right. I'm afflicted, Lord, in torment. Strengthen me, Lord, with thy might. Because thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Because
thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let thy heritage my heart rejoice. I've inclined to perform always.
Because
thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Because
thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
As we come to the close of another broadcast, I want to remind you of the importance of our listeners remembering the financial needs in order for us to be able to stay on these stations with these messages from God's Word. If you can help us at this time, it will be greatly appreciated. Our address is the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. Till we greet you next time, this is LeSere Bradley Jr. bidding you goodbye, and may God bless you.
Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His good.